This is Graham Atwell, your host, welcoming you back to the third of our four special programs for Institutional Innovation, the SSBR Institutional Innovation Institutional Impact Conference. We're accompanying it with four special radio shows today, and this is the third of your shows, broadcasting live on the internet, live in Illuminate, the Institutional Innovation Show. Well, we started off, let's have a recap. We started off this morning, we played you some wake-up music, turned a bit contentious. There was lots of muttering about German industrial music, a total lie in my view. Then we went on to get the keynote presentation by John Smith on surfing the mobile wave. John Cook on surfing the mobile wave. Oh, it's been a long day. At lunchtime, we looked at the program managers. We got the idea of the JISC Institutional Innovation Program Managers, their ideas about how the program should develop, what the project should be doing, about impact, about institutional embedding. And now in the third of our programs, we want to look at some of the projects themselves. Now, we know there are hundreds of good projects, well, perhaps not hundreds, but there are a lot of good projects out there. We picked two that we managed to get hold of people who could talk to us at short notice on Skype. We're going to go into a musical break now, and we're going to come back with Howard Noble from Oxford University Computer Services, who's going to be talking to us about green ICT. This is the Institutional Innovation Show. Welcome, Howard. You're from Oxford University, I think, and you're running a project called Low Carbon ICT. Can you tell me what it's all about?
Yeah, that's right. So the project started, I think it was 18 months ago, and it was basically all to do with how to reduce the amount of electricity that desktop computers consume. So we put a proposal forward to develop an institutional service, so one that would work across the devolved, all the colleges and departments and museums and other entities in Oxford, with a view that if we could do it in Oxford, then it would probably be able to do it in other universities and across the country as well.
Tell me, do computers consume a lot of electricity?
Yeah, so a typical desktop computer will run about 80 watts, and a monitor will run at about 25. That would be an LCD monitor. And CRT, the old type of bigger monitor, run at much higher wattage, So, but the important thing about desktop computers is there's an awful lot of them.
Yes.
So I will try and dig out the figures while we talk, but we've done an estimate for roughly how much savings could be made across the whole UK based on Peter James's report that was submitted to JISC recently. So I think it was of the order of about 122 million.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, so there's a lot of assumptions in that. But if you think about roughly what the percentage of staff in universities that have a desktop, so it's probably one to one at least.
Yeah.
And you start seeing people with more than one monitor now. That's quite a common thing. And then if you think that 90% of students will be coming to university with a laptop,
yeah,
plugging their computers into the university electricity supply,
yeah,
for at least, you know, 24 weeks or probably more in other universities, then there's a significant draw from personal computing.
Okay, two questions then. The first one, how does this technically work? How do you technically save this?
Right, okay, so there's an interesting twist in what we proposed to do and what we ended up doing. In that, what we wanted to do originally was, our reasoning was that many computers, and we estimate half of all managed computers in a university, will be left on. And they're left on primarily because if you switch them off, you can't do things like software updates and backups and other essential activities. And they're also switched on because people don't want to wait for them to boot up.
Of course.
Okay, so they're switched on. So if we can provide a facility to switch them on when they're off, then that allows us to say, switch them off is the norm, and if you need to switch them on, use this new service. So the service is built on a technology called Wake on LAN, and it works on most modern computers. You might have to enable it in the BIOS and the network card sometimes, but it works across, it's basically a hardware-dependent thing. It's not an operating system-dependent thing.
Okay.
So the majority of computers can be woken up remotely using this standard network protocol. So that's what we set out to do, and we built that. But then, so the technology works by asking all the managers around Oxford University who have a desktop infrastructure to install a small piece of software, which at the moment we're just calling a gateway. And that gateway relays a message from a central service, which we run out of computing services here at Oxford, and basically allows anybody, so academics or IT managers, to log into a web page, and they see the list of computers that they manage. So an academic would typically see one, and they could go to the web page and say, wake up my computer. So I actually forgot to mention the third use case, one that drove the project originally as well, is that academics, a lot of academics leave their computer on just in case they need them when they go away from the university.
Yes.
So now we have these three use cases can serve this. You can use the Wake on LAN's
So when
tool.
They're away from the university, they can go to a web page and wake their computer up.
Yes, and then they can use a piece of software like Remote Desktop to do whatever they wanted to do on their computer, for instance, retrieve a file or look at their bookmarks or something like that. Yeah, so that's what we set out to do, and that's what we've done. And that's proved useful already, so because it switches the logic on its head. It says, don't leave computers on, no, switch computers on and only when they're needed, not just in case they're needed.
Yes.
Okay. So that was interesting. But as we went along, we realized that what people really need to start their own green IT projects is the ability to know what size of the problem there is in the first place. Okay. So there's a management mantra, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it.
Yeah.
So what we started to do then was use the same infrastructure where we use the gateway software to send a message to basically query a network using an ARP query and send data back to another central service, which we at the moment we'll just have a generic name for them, which is called the monitoring service. And that compiles a list of live nodes, what we're calling live nodes.
Okay.
So if a computer's off or asleep, we won't find it. If it's on, we'll find it because it'll have an IP address. So that allows us to plot a graph of the total number of computers that are on, switched on a network. So then we can provide that graph to each department or college or group and say, well, this is roughly what's happening in your department. So what you'll see in the department with no policy. So remember, until recently, probably many departments had a policy that all computers must be left on.
Okay.
Then if you want to have a policy, say for instance you send an email out and you say you're going to rely on kind of wishful thinking that if you send an email out people are going to start switching their computers off, then you expect to see this graph change. So this actually probably won't work if you just rely on people and there's no kind of checking up or monitoring. But if there's a monitoring service, you might see the effect that people might start doing it, and why they might stop doing it is they start assuming that other people aren't doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you can provide a website for your group that shows how many computers are getting left on overnight, and people make the effort and they can see instantly, because it's all real time, how many other people are making the same effort, then instead of getting dispirited, they'll hopefully get encouraged.
So it has a positive knock-on effect.
Yes, exactly. So that's what we've actually found is probably the primary driver to starting a green IT project, is providing the ability to show that an individual in a group is having an effect. Okay? So this graphing stuff is something we think is the way forward in terms of starting things off and encouraging people to do their bit. Okay, so Wake on LAN is an enabling software. So how we're structuring the project in the future is that we are encouraging people to step through five steps. And this is all going to be part of, so we've been funded again. under the theme of benefits realization, which is a project that's going to started in June and is going to finish in December. And it's a pot of money to work with Liverpool University, who've got expertise in another area of desktop power management, which is how to get computers to go to sleep. But we're thinking is if we can step people through five steps to achieve this, and there's enough flexibility in the five steps that each group will develop a really robust strategy towards reducing power consumption on their desktop computers. So the five steps are, first of all, we encourage people to spend 5 minutes estimating how much their desktop computing infrastructure would cost if it was left on all the time and switched off at the end of each working day. So we provide a simple web page that explains how to do this. It's very easy. It can be done in 5 minutes. Second stage, we're saying, and it's an obvious stage, but might need reminding, is that desktop power management is something that a lot of people have already tackled. So we're encouraging people to read what other people have done and look at the options and decide which one is best for their particular situation. The third stage is implement. So you might decide that you want to implement some tools. And we're saying that all groups should implement this monitoring software. So to install a gateway in a department, we think we can do in an hour. Okay, so we're recommending two stages in the implement phase. One, the first one and the most important, and we're trying to say this to everybody, if you're going to start this project, the first thing you should do is monitor what's actually happening. Once you've got tools in place, you need to start explaining to people what they need to do. So just quickly onto the fifth stage, the last stage.
You have to be very quick here, Howard. I'm running out of time, I'm afraid.
Yeah. So the last stage is to share what you've done. So obviously you've developed an approach that works, and we're encouraging people to write it up and tell other people what worked and your experiences so that other people can learn from what you've done.
That is a fabulous project. How can people find out more very quickly, Howard?
Okay, so if you type in Green IT and then OUCS, which is Oxford University Computing Services, you'll see the jump-off point. Or you can go to the GISC website. And also we're hoping to be pushing out lots of material soon under a campaign name of Do Your Bit, and where there's a pun on the word bit, a small b and then IT. So one thing about desktop computing energy, green desktop computing, is it's depending on many people making an effort, as opposed to another project which might be looking at virtualization, a server where it's typically IT managers and IT professionals.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to go, Howard. So remember, do your bit. Thanks a lot.
Yes. Thanks very much.